Last week's parasha, Parsha's Korach, I think the theme of last week's parasha is what not to do. Do whatever, do the exact opposite of what we saw in last week's parasha. Don't be like Korach and don't be like his followers, but I think the overall message from last week's parasha is not necessarily what to do, but what to stay clear of and more so what not to do. Rashi in the beginning of the parasha tells us, Rashi was bothered with a question, where did Reuven come into this whole argument? According to the way the Medrash sets it up, this was an argument specifically for Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was the one. Korach's family had issues with Moshe Rabbeinu's appointing of various positions. Where did Reuven? What does Reuven have to do with this? He wouldn't have gotten any position anyways as the Nasi for Shevet Levi. So Rashi quotes the very powerful words, Oyla Rosh, Oyla Shechina. Reuven was camped right next to Korach. And when Korach started his revolution, his neighbors got slept in. So Rashi tells us a phrase, Oyla Rosh, Oyla Shechina. Now, for most of us, when we read Rashi, we read the words, but it doesn't always sink in. This is a very, very powerful phrase of Oyla Rosh, Oyla Shechina. The Mishnah Sharm discusses it at length when talking about friends and people we associate with, about this idea that we're generally going to be affected more by them than they are going to be by us. Many people move to various communities, they say, I'm going to change them. And it usually works the other way around. Usually you get changed more than you change them. Now, this is a very hard thing, especially for young people that are, you know, starting out in life. They're trying to figure out where to buy a house. So the hardest thing in life is figuring out how to pay for the house, which is the cheapest area. But sometimes the cheapest area might not be the best area for spiritual reasons, because it might not be the community that you want for yourself, for your family. So it gets very tricky, and this I always, you know, teach my Talmidim. This is a very difficult thing in life when picking, and even when picking a spouse. Make sure that this person is someone that's going to help you and guide you, not someone who's going to bring you down. But more so when you're picking your community, when you're picking friends, neighbors, you know, family we're kind of stuck with. Right? We don't have a choice. But neighbors, we pick our neighbors, we pick our communities. The problem is today, many of us say, well, I have no choice. It's the only place that's affordable, so I have to move there. But you have to keep in mind, when moving yourself to a community that might not be people that are in line with your ideologies, you definitely get affected by them. And the chance of you changing them is possible, but the likelihood is the other way around. And you're going to get swept in and caught up in their way of life and their chesreinus. So it's something very valuable to walk away with, that Shevet Reuven got caught up in a fight that they had nothing to do with. Reuven had no skin in the game. Reuven, it made no difference whether or not Korach got the job or someone else got the job. But either Rosh or Shechina, you get caught up with your neighbors, and next thing you know, you're rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mishnah tells us in Ovis, Kol machlokes shehi l'shem shemayim, seifa l'skayim. Any machlokes that's l'shem shemayim is going to eventually have lasting ramifications. The Gemara, the Mishnah says, what's an example of machloikis shemayim? That's Hillel and Shammai. Zok the Mishnah, ko machloikis she'enoi l'shem shemayim. What's that? That's Korach v'chadosei. So Frektiv Hirsch says, one second. It shouldn't be Korach v'chadosei, it should be Korach v'chadosei against Moshe Rabbeinu. In the first half of the Mishnah, when you talked about l'shem shemayim, you brought both parties, Hillel versus Shammai. So when you're talking about a shalom l'shem shemayim, so you got to contrast it and be Korach versus Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is it all mentioned? So if Hirsch explained, because a machloikis shalom l'shem shemayim, there's not even two sides. You don't care about the other side. It's all about you. In a real machloikis, an honest argument, an honest debate and learning, you want to hear what the other person has to say. You may disagree, but you at least want to hear what he has to say. Shammai wanted to hear what Hillel had to say, and Hillel wanted to hear what Shammai had to say. Korach had absolutely no interest in hearing what Moshe Rabbeinu had to say. He could care less. To him, this is a one-sided conversation. It's, I'm talking, Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't care what you have to say. That's not a real machloikis. That's not a real argument. When a person is having a debate and all he wants to hear is his own opinion, that's not an open and honest debate. Says of Hirsch, and it's such a valuable lesson in interpersonal relationship, even more so relationships with our spouses, that when we only want to hear our side, that's not an argument. That's a one-sided experience. We have to at least be acknowledging that there's two sides. There's your way of looking at it, and there's my way of looking at it. I hear what you have to say. I acknowledge your way. I think X and Y is wrong with your way, but at least I hear the words. If you look in other Mepharshim, Kliyok and others, they explain that Korach didn't even listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't even concerned with the words that Moshe Rabbeinu had to say. He could care less what Moshe Rabbeinu was going to say. Many times, you know, people ask Shaals, they don't really want to hear, they're not really looking to hear. They want to, you know, is this Mutter? And the answer is, you know, no or yes. They weren't really asking. They were kind of telling you, I'm going to do this. And Adatam wants to tell me, I'm doing this. Is it okay? So you didn't ask me. You told me what you're doing. You're not even listening to hear yes, no. You're doing what you want. So Korach was a one-sided conversation. Zoktiv Hirsch, a one-sided machloikis, that's not a machloikis Hashem Shemai. There's a beautiful piece in Sichas Musar in the beginning of the parasha from Chaim Shmulevitz. Chaim Shmulevitz asked the Kasha, Rashi tells us that all the people that were associated with Korach v'chados, even the small children, got swallowed up in the ground and they died. So Rashi comments, he says, there's something interesting. We know a child normally doesn't get killed at such a young age. Misa b'de'adam doesn't start yet. So Rashi, so you see from here how bad machloikis is that even small children got punished. So Chaim Shmulevitz asks, okay, but what's taka the pshat? So Chaim Shmulevitz says that machloikis is such a bad trait that if the parents have the trait, it's going to be passed down into the children. If a kid comes home and every day all he hears is his parents talking about it, and the neighbor's no good, and the rabbi's no good, and the guy down the block is no good, what do you think this kid's going to be raised to be? He's going to be a Baal Machloikis. If his father's a Baal Machloikis, he's going to be a Baal Machloikis. Says B'chaim Shulev, it's just like we find by Ben Sayer and Meir, we say, listen, we know where you're headed in life. Let's just cut it off before it gets there, and we kill him before he gets down to that path. Says B'chaim Shulev, it's the same thing with someone who's raised in a Machloikis family. If your family is some of those people that are always complaining and always fighting, and the neighbor's no good, and the guy in Shul sits next to you is no good, and the rabbi's no good, and everyone's no good, so chances are your child is going to be raised to be a child who's not going to think anyone else is good. Pesach Kron tells over the story, but it's so true. It says there's a little kid who sits down, you know, Shabbos party in the small grades. Shabbos party is a big experience. Well, 4-year-old kids. So he says a 4-year-old kid sits down at Shabbos party in school and says, "Oi, what a week I had." You know, but that's what the kid has at home in his mind. That's what the, you know. That's what Shabbos is. So he doesn't know any better. So it's so true. When we if we raise our children with our ideologies that are flawed, they're going to pick up those ideologies. Now I saw this vort from Chaim Shulevitz many times, and it never dawned on me until yesterday that there's one kasha on this vort. Kairach's children. Pasuk says, "B'nei Kairach le'meisu." Mavor Medrash that Kairach's children lived a good life. Now, how could that be? How could it be they were raised in the Avi Avos HaTumah house of Kairach, the biggest Baal Machloikis? How could it be they weren't, affected by it, but yet someone that was raised in a regular person's house, who was just a follower, was? It's a tzarachim by me. How exactly to answer that kasha? It could be that B'nei Kairach realized right away that their father was nuts, and they kept away from him. The other people maybe thought their parents weren't such extremists, so maybe they listened to them. I don't know. To me, it's a shtickl kasha. What happened to B'nei Kairach? But in any case, clearly we see that the idea, the severity of what we give over to our children is very much the traits that we carry. If we come home after shul and we say, "Oh, that guy's no good, and he has no shaykhs, and that guy's bad," so that's what our kids are going to do as well. So that's what the Torah is telling us, that if someone's a Baal Machloikis, he's destined to raise children that are Baal Machloikis. It's interesting that when Kairach came with a taina, when his taina was really on two mitzvahs he didn't like, the mitzvah of tzitzis and tcheles, and the mitzvah of mezuzah. He had a whole shtickl Torah, that house, a room that's full of svarim, you shouldn't need a mezuzah. If you look at Medrash, the Medrash is mavor that Kairach is more than that. If you look at the Medrash, Kairach had a whole shtickl Torah where he basically wanted to undermine the whole idea of Torah mitzvahs, not just those specific mitzvahs. He basically wanted to say that Moshe Rabbeinu made up his own rules, and Moshe Rabbeinu does what he wants, and the whole system is rigged. But why the emphasis on those specific mitzvahs? So if you look in the Kli Yakar held that these were just examples. Wasn't that? He thought that these two mitzvahs were made up, and all the mitzvahs were made up. The whole Torah was made up by Moshe Rabbeinu, was all Moshe Rabbeinu's chedushim, and therefore we're not bound by it. Rav Salvechik has a piece where he explains that the significance of the tcheles is that we know that the tcheles represents those things that we don't really understand. It's beyond our comprehension, those things that are more covered. So he writes, the mistake that Kairach made was Kairach had no leadership. Kairach's taina was, we don't need leaders. We're all good. We're all equals. Why do we need a Moshe Rabbeinu? Why do we need a manhig? Why do we need a rabbi? Why do we need a rebbe? We're all the same. We all learned the same Torah. We all heard Kabbalah's Torah. We're all the same. So of salvation, that was Kairach's downfall. Every person has to realize that he needs someone that can guide him, educate him, teach him, and guide him in life. Kairach felt, well, we don't need a hierarchy of Rabbanim and Moshe Rabbeinu even higher than that. Who needs it? We're all equal. We all learned in yeshiva. Today, I think one of the biggest chavals with the younger generation is they don't feel like they need rabbis. I hear this all the time from young people. I don't need a rabbi. I learned in yeshiva. The rabbi learned in yeshiva. What's the difference? He actually learned in yeshiva. And you went to yeshiva. Okay, that's a different kasha. Right? But I don't need a rabbi. Someone tells me, I have a virtual rabbi. I said, okay, so you can ask virtual shaylos. You know, we live in a generation where people, the younger generation, this is a real problem, I'm telling you, that they feel they don't need any leaders. I know, the rabbi knows we're all the same. I can learn, he could learn. What do I need any hadracha for? Why do I need someone on top of me, just another person that I have to pay? What do I need it for? Seven salvation, that was the mistake of Kairach. Kairach felt that there was no hierarchy, everyone's equal. It's not true. A person in life needs to have someone he can turn to, he can look up to, and say, listen, this person is bigger than me, greater than me. I'm a vat on my dastim, I don't know what's right, and I ask him what's right. Salvechik adds, he says, let's say a person's rabbi dies. So most of us would say, so get another rabbi. Salvechik says, ask yourself what your rabbi would have done. Well, what do you think your rabbi would have done in this situation? I think that gets a little tricky because a lot of people spin it the way they want. Well, I think my rabbi would say it's mutter because I want it to be mutter. So I think that's what he would have said. Got to be careful with that ideology. I've heard that from people all the time. I think my rabbi would say X. I have a good idea. Go ask him. What do you mean you think? Go ask him if you know what he says. But the idea is so true, and more so in this younger generation, I can tell you firsthand, is that the attitude is, we don't need rabbanim. They're just a drain on the community. They cost money. They're a burden. We're all equal. We're all kulam Hashem. We're all good. Zakhtar of Salvation, that's the mistake of Kairach. The pasuk says, you're not supposed to be like Kairach. So if we have to figure out what Kairach did wrong, and we have to circumvent those problems. Ibn Yochum Levavitz points out that the timing of Kairach seemed to be out of order. If Kayach was upset about the appointing of the Nesim, this happened a long time ago. Why all of a sudden now you wake up with the Taina? So Yerucham Lulavitz explains based on the Ramban, because Kayach was smart. He knew at the time when they appointed the Nesim, Klai Yisrael was happy. Everything was good. Things were going smooth. No one likes to rock the boat. Moshe Rabbeinu at that time was looked at as the great Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything was great. We had the Mishkan. Hashem loved us. We had a relationship. No one wanted to start mishing around with Moshe Rabbeinu. What happens now, says the Ramban, after the Chatam Meraglim, also now Moshe Rabbeinu watched what took place, says the Ramban, and he didn't daven for the people. He didn't get involved enough. He didn't daven on behalf of the Meraglim to save them. So now also, now the Klal Yisrael starts with complaining. Moshe Rabbeinu, you didn't do enough for us. So as Rabbi Fran quotes Rabbi Yerucham Lulavitz, and he coins it, the victim generation. Someone else's fault. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's fault of the Meraglim. He didn't daven enough to save the Meraglim. And Rabbi Frank goes on to explain, and it's even more so today with the younger generation, I can tell you that firsthand, that we live in a generation of victimization. Nothing's our fault. It's the Rebbe's fault, it's the parents' fault, it's the neighbor's fault, it's society's fault. No one's to blame for anything they do today. I had a Talmud once tell me that if you don't give this to me, I'm going to throw off my yarmulke and go off the derech. And it's going to be your fault. I told him, listen, my numbers are pretty good. If most of my Talmidim stay from, I'm okay with that. But that's just the ideology. It's the Rebbe's fault that you don't get what you want. It's the parents' fault that you don't get what you want. This is says Rebbe Rucham, that was the mistake of Klal Yisrael. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's fault that the Chetam Aragun, that he didn't daven enough to save us. That's the ideology of the world. So he writes to my friend, he says, you know, he wrote this years ago, talking about in the early 90s. Culture again today, if you look, even look in politics, you see this all over the place in politics. Someone else's fault. Why did Hillary lose the election? Because of Russia, this, that. It's always someone else's fault. There's never an accountability that we have in life. It's always someone else's fault. And that was the mistake of Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael felt that it was Moshe Rabbeinu's fault. So once Moshe Rabbeinu is already pegged down as being lacking in his job, now Klal Yisrael has a chance to be able to knock down Moshe Rabbeinu, and Korach seized on that moment. Just at the end of the parsha, in the middle of the parsha, I think there's something that needs to be spoken out. You find that there's this unbelievable magefa, where thousands and thousands of people die. A lot more than died by Korach. And what happened there? That was right after Bnei Yisrael saw Korach. Right when they come to Kadosh Baruch Hu, why'd you kill us out? Well, it's an unbelievable thing to think about. You saw the whole story, Klal Yisrael. You were there. You saw the players, you saw the interactions, and then you come with a tiny Kadosh Baruch Hu, why'd you kill him? Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, Rabbi Yisai, it's worse than Korach. Korach started a revolution, so you bought into it, you didn't buy into it. But you saw with your own eyes that I killed those that were wrong and those that were innocent saved. And you're coming with that taina, then Kadosh Baruch Hu destroys them. Because that's much worse. If you're going to see with your own eyes the ways of Hashem, and you're still going to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing? Kadosh Baruch Hu is not fair, it's not just. Then you totally have no connection to this religion, so to say. And that's why those people suffered a lot worse. And many more people died than died in the actual Adas Korach, because those people saw right from wrong. They saw clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu's endorsement of Moshe Rabbeinu versus Korach, and they still had tainas. Such people have no kiyum in Klal Yisrael. Okay, we left off last week in the Gemara over here in Gittin Dafayin Ches, where the Gemara is trying to explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if a person throws a get, if a lady goes behind her husband's back, physically, and he finds a get behind his back, and she picks up the get, and the husband says to her, "Hagitech zok to gemishna, it's a good get." Fact the Gemara kasha ki omol hagitech mehave. How does it help if he says to her, "This is your get"? Havele tle gitech me'agabe karka. It's a chsarin called tle gitech me'agabe karka, which literally translates: if a man tells his wife, "Go pick up the get from the ground." V'amar Rav, and Rav says, "Tlegidach me'agabe karka lo yamaklum." If a person says to his wife, "Go pick up the get from the ground," now. The Aruch HaShulchan speaks out. This can even be in his own rishos. Let's say he has the get sitting in his drawer. He tells his wife, "Do me a favor, come to my house, go in my house, go up the steps, and take it out of the drawer." That's also tligidach me'agab karka. It doesn't have to only be if I throw it in the middle of a rishos and rabbi. It's the same thing. If I tell her, "Come into my house and pick up my get," so zakti gemara, that's no good. So frakti gemara, how could it be if she goes behind the husband, picks up the get from behind his back? How does that work? That would be a case of tligidach me'agab karka. What's interesting about the Gemara is that when the Rava makes this comment of Tlegidach Me'agabe Karka, Rava doesn't back it up with any source in the Chazal or any source in Pasuk or anything. He just makes it sound like it's a Davar Pashut that Tlegidach Me'agabe Karka doesn't work. No one seems to argue in Rava, and this seems to be the accepted halacha brought down both Shulchan Aruch and Rambam, that Tlegidach Me'agabe Karka doesn't work. What I want to try to figure out today is why. What's so bad in the case of Tlegidach Me'agabe Karka? What's so bad? The husband throws the get, and he tells her, go get the get. Why is that not a good get? The Farshim point out, Lo Yamaklum means it's not even a get to Rabbanan. It's nothing, zero. If a person would do this with a grusha, let's say he would tell his wife, and he's a kohen, he tells his wife, listen, go pick up the get from my backyard. This lady is completely a consideration issue. Not even a suffix grusha, not even also a kohen. It's the lowest level get. It's b'chlal not a functioning get. The shayla is why. So if you look in Rashi over here, number 2, Rashi says, why? The Be'inan V'nasan. We need V'nasan. Now, there's one major pasuk that talks about the whole gittin. That's the pasuk of V'nasan B'yadoi. Because of Lasev Ekrisis, you write again, V'nasan B'yadoi, and you put it into her hand. Now, we spoke a lot about what the words V'nasan B'yadoi mean. The Gemara in the beginning of the parak learned from the word B'yadoi, that Ein Li'al Yadoi, you can even give it to her hand, into her possession, into her backyard. That's all the B'yadoi. What do we learn from the V'nasan? What does it mean, and you have to give it? So simple reading of Rashi would sound like that you have to be involved in the giving over of the gift. V'nasan means you must give it. Simple reading of the Torah. V'nasan, and you should put it. You should give it. Give it where? So you see clearly that the Torah's hakpada is that you should be involved in this giving of the gift. It's not enough that you allow her into your rishos. One could have said, what do you mean? I'm allowing her to come to my backyard. That's a pretty big deal. I don't let other people to my backyard. But the fact that I'm allowing her to come into my backyard to pick up the get, that should be enough that I'm involved in the get. Zog to Gemara, it's not true. V'nasan means you have to be directly involved in the transferring of the get, seemingly from you to her. That's what would seem like the pashat reading of the Gemara is. Now, what is a little interesting to me is, again, I'm not here to be Derish time of the crowd, but if one would have thought, why should this all matter? The point of a divorce is that she ends up with a shtar. So the point is that she ends up with a shtar, does it really matter how she ends up with the shtar? Why is it such a hakpadas ha-Torah that it should matter how she gets it? Let her get it. That's what counts. She walks around with the document. She needs the document. Once she gets the document, let's say the wind would blow the document into her hand. Right? Would that also be a problem? He leaves the document in his drawer, and the window's open, and the wind comes and blows the document out of the window, all the way, you know, beautiful, perfect wind, and takes it all the way into her hands.
Because it has to show that his intent. Otherwise, okay. If it came into her possession, but he didn't intend it,
okay,
that she's still an HSD, she's acting like a non-HSD.
So you're suggesting a possibility that the reason why Tlegidich has a problem is because we don't know that the husband wants to divorce her. Now, I think it might depend on the case. I made a very extreme case.
Right.
Let's say the case would be here. Here's your divorce, right? So then we assume he wants to do it.
He says it's felt in the Venasan. I mean, in other words, you don't see his intent.
Okay,
you know, he may be chickening out.
Maybe.
Right.
We'll see such a pshat, I think, maybe in Rambam.
Tligitach is better than the case that you gave. Is he saying this?
Right. So I think Tligitach is the most extreme case, and we'll work our way through various cases. Right? Tligitach is the most extreme because the husband is absolutely not involved at all in the getting from him to her. He's very passive. The most he does is allows her into his house.
He's participating.
He's somewhat involved, but he's very limited in his involvement.
In Tligitach, if after she picked it up, he said,
"Havi Gita." Oh, very good, Gevaldik. That's what I wanted to say. That's the Rambam. There's a Rambam that talks about that. That I want to get to hopefully later today. My daughter, who's 8 years old, on Shabbos was nudging me to do something, and I told her no. I said, "I make a deal with you. If you explain to me the chesaron of Tligidich and Agave Karka, you can do what you want." So she asked me, "What's Tligidich and Agave Karka?" So I had to explain to her what a get is. She said, "What's a get?" Okay. After we got through all the technical pshatim, so she suggested this idea that you don't know what you want to do. You just throw something in the middle of the street. Who knows what you want to do? So I explained to her, I think if the husband says, "I want to divorce my wife," and he throws it to her, at that point she didn't care anymore, she didn't want to talk to me, we moved on. But in any case...
Could she maybe give to the night shirt?
Maybe. Yeah, a little past her bedtime. But in any case, I find this very hard to understand what exactly is the chesaron of Tligidich and Agave Karka. Rashi says, the be'inan v'nasan. You need to be, I guess that means that you need to be an active participant in the actual giving. Being a passive participant, which means allowing her to come into your backyard, or as we mentioned last week, the stipler asks and the Shimon asks, what do you mean? I allow her to be kind of it. Isn't that the greatest involvement in the world? Without my consent, she can't be kind of this piece of paper, and without being kind of the piece of paper, she's not divorced. So why is that not enough of an nasa? That's the cash we mentioned last week. But that's not good enough. Clearly, that's not enough of an involvement to be called of an nasa. We talk many times about this idea of how does the Chalois Gerushin work? Is Chalois Gerushin working with the giving or is it really with the kinyan? If Chalois Gerushin works with the actual giving or the kinyan, so that it's harder to understand this Gemara. If the whole idea is getting her to own the get, so it really shouldn't matter how she gets about owning the get. If the Ikar HaKavodah HaTorah is that she should own the get, so then she owns the get. How she got about doing it maybe shouldn't matter as much. But if you assume not like that, that the Ikar HaKavodah HaTorah is not that she owns the get, because as the Tzais proves, she never owns the get, but rather the Ikar HaKavodah HaTorah is the giving, so then it makes much more sense. We're much more particular about the giving, because that's the whole Maisa Gerushin. The whole Chalois Gerushin is on the giving, not on the actual Kenyan. So then I understand a little better why the Torah is so makbid on this idea of how do you give it. There's a shaila in Paiskim, there's a Beis Shmuel talks about this. Is there a din of Tligidich Me'agabe Karka by Kedushin? We talked about this when we learned Kedushin. Let's say, for example, a husband tells a lady, here's a pruta, let's get married. Hariyam Gdesh Libe Pruta Zuni, he throws it down the block. Would there be a problem of Kli Gitech or Kli Kiddushecha Me'agabe Karka? So Rabbi Shmuel is Mesopik about. So there's two ways of learning the Safik. The first Safik could be if we're talking about Kiddushe Shtar, we're talking about Kiddushe Kesef. If we're talking about Kiddushe Shtar, so Kiddushe Shtar always has Makash Shavai Yitzir, so you're kind of locked in. In Kiddushe Kesef, there's no Makash Shavai Yitzir L'chair, which should work. More so, by Kiddushin, the Torah never says the word V'nasan. The Torah doesn't say give. The Torah says Kikach, take her. Which means the Torah really cared more about acquiring her than the how to giving it to her. Meaning, by Gevish and Akbar, the Torah was, how do you give the get to her? V'nasan biyod, is how do you give this legal document to her? Not that she should own a legal document. By Kiddushin, the Lashon of the positive is Kiyikach Ish Isha. Then the Torah is talking about, how do you acquire her? How do I acquire her? I acquire her with money. How do you make money purchases? By giving the person the money. Do you have to put the... Let's say I go to the store. Forget Kiddushin. Let's say I want to go to the store and buy something from you. Would it be okay if I put the money a little bit further away from you and you have to pick up the money? Or I have to put the money in your hand? If I want to make a purchase, it only works if I put the money directly into your hand. There's a din miyodoy that I have to put the money in your hand. L'chayim not. So Tainad, Rabbi Chonan and others, that Kiddushin L'Hakpadah Satayra is not about giving it over the piece of paper. By Kiddushin L'Hakpadah Satayra is acquiring. How do I acquire this woman? I acquire her with money. How does money work? Money works about you getting money on my behalf. So if you end up with the money on my behalf, that's all that we care about. Mashaykh ibn Gameship is a whole different type of a chalais. It's not about her owning the get, because according to the Ksay, she never owns the get. Instead, it's about how I transfer this piece of paper to her, and then the Torah has Akbada. How do you do it? So,
L'chayra. What does he do in Marcus Shavai Litzia?
That's only by Shtar, not by Kesef. And Echrami. That is the truth is, you have another kasha. What happens to makish avayas lahadodi? The Gemara in Kedushin says that not only are we makish Kedushin to Gerushin, we then makish the various Kedushins to each other. So that we spoke about once, how to learn a Gemara in Daf Tes and Kedushin, to when we do and when we don't make these distinctions of makish avayas litzir. There's a rather long piece from Rabbi Chonon Kevitz Biurim in Gittin, a very, very long piece. Not to, most of Rabbi Chonon shtickles are shorter. It goes on for 2-3 pages. Rabbi Chonon deals with the shayla of what's part of the Kedushin and what's more of a side issue that's not included in the makish avayas litzir. Okay, so let's assume that we understand Kli Gitech Me'agabe Karka. So the Gemara's answer is that's not going to fly, because if the get's behind the husband and she walks over and picks up the piece of paper, so then that's no different than going over to the middle of the street and picking up a piece of paper, that doesn't work. And for the Gemara, Eimo Shalfasa Me'achayuv. So Gemara makes it a kimta that Shalfasa Me'achayuv. What does that mean, Zagrashi? Shayotochov Ben Chagur Lemoisnov. He tucked the get between his pants and his waist. Lishalfasa Misham, and she pulled it out of there. It's basically on his body, it's stuck onto his body. Between his pants, and she pulls it out. So why does that answer the kasha? Why is that any better? That's the Gemara says, okay, good. Kli Gitech Me'agabe Karka is solved. Why is Kli Gitech Me'agabe Karka solved now? The husband's on. Oh, so you see clearly from the Gemara, all the Echran point that we'll see in a minute, that now it's not that she's picking it up off of a third area of a no man's land. She's taking it from his rishus.
Was there a dibur before that?
There was no dibur before.
By the karka, there was dibur. He threw, or it was an action of his to put it in the karka.
Correct.
Which signified he wanted her to take it. If it's in his back pocket, maybe he wasn't ready. Maybe he was thinking about it.
Right.
But so that dibur, how do you know?
That's why the Rishayim speak out. That's why you have to say afterwards hagitich. That's why afterwards we spoke. Right. The Rishayim speak this out. Yeah. Right.
He says.
Right, he says, go get your get.
Yeah.
No, so the Rishonim, ask a kasha, so why do you have to say Hagitech? It says in the Mishnah that if you do this, you have to say Hagitech. Why do you have to say Hagitech? If this is a regular interaction of get, well, Hagitech is said afterwards.
Afterwards.
The question is, why? If I give a regular get, I don't have to say Hagitech, as long as I'm a sukim by Yisra'inyan. So the Rishonim speak out, because over here it is what's called a Nesina Gerua, because since it looks pretty funny, it's tucked in your back pocket, maybe you were tucking it away and pulling it out later, so therefore it's called a Nesina Gerua. On a Nesina Gerua, you need to fix it with a Hagidah. That's the way the Ran and other Rishonim speak out in the Gemara.
So before she takes it out of his back pocket, she knows it's a get?
Yeah, she might know it's a get. Again, Pashas the Chassan over here is not the issue of she doesn't know what she's getting. Like Tosfos learned, that's Meshachav and Chazeri. She doesn't realize it's a get. Maybe she knows it is a get. But the problem over here in the Gemara is that we're lacking in the Mais and the Sina. The Mais and the Sina isn't done correctly. On that, the Gemara says it is done because she pulls it out of his back pocket.
You're saying here, when Rava said, right? And then when they change it, he never said it?
No. The Gemara's cash is that this case is the same as Rava. When the Havmi of the Gemara was, you pulled the get from behind his back, on the floor behind his back. Frak the Gemara, that's Kli Gitech, which is no good. Answer the Gemara, that wasn't the case. The case wasn't the get was sitting behind him on the floor. The get was tucked away in his...
I'm asking, are we saying now that he never said Kli Gitech?
Again.
Changing it, Shalfazam Echor, in his belt,
right.
He never said Kli Gitech from there?
No, he could have said that also. That doesn't change. The wording is not the problem. The problem is that if it was taka on the ground, then you're lacking venasa. So now the Gemara has another kasha. In fact, the Gemara, habi'ino venasa biyad devaleka. Like a new kasha. All right, what do you mean? That doesn't work. You need venasa biyad devaleka. What's this new kasha? Well, the first kasha was it's tlegidich, now the Gemara is a new kasha, a new din, venasa biyad. Now, here we have another word in the pasuk. Not just venasa, now we have venasa biyad.
Because she's doing the action, he's not.
Ah, so it seems like from the Gemara that there's two independent problems taking place over here. There's one problem that if it gets on the ground, it's no good because it's not venasa. There's another problem that even if you fix the problem of that it's coming from my rishos to her rishos, there's still not venasa biyad. I still didn't make it that it's in her rishos. I wasn't involved. So, emphatic Gemara, like tzricha, the arik lechatzel v'shal faseh. So the Gemara makes an akimta that we're talking about over here. It's really machloikis rishayim. We'll have to get to later. But according to Rashi, what does it mean? The arik lechatzel akam lemosnov lahakriv lahaget. So the get was tucked in his pants. What he did was he moved himself this way. This way, bringing the get somewhat closer to her, and she taka pulled the get out of his pants, which means he was in misayeya. He was involved in the giving. Maybe it was a very small level, but by him moving his waist a certain way that he brought the get closer to her, he made it an inch closer to her, that was considered a misayeh and then a sinner. We'll see, Rabbi Nuchananel has a whole different shot on how to learn the Gemara, but that's the end of the Gemara.
In the classic case where he throws it into the Rishus HaRabbis, so is it a chasarin in the Benasan or in the Biyadah?
Very good, that's what I want to get to right now. So now that we see from the Gemara that there's two dinim, as the way that Achraim set it up, what are these two dinim and where they learned from? So, to my best knowledge, this yisoid, that there's two dinim, is all really attributed back to Reb Shimon. I think his various talmidim said it different ways. You know, I put over here on the page two different talmidim from Reb Shimon. One was Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, he was a talmud of Reb Shimon. He really was a makachir, but, and Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz in Shari Chaim. Again, I always tell people, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz gets lost in the shuffle of Gedolei Achrayim in Lomdus, because everyone knows Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz for his Sichas Musar, his beautiful Musar thoughts, like we even mentioned this morning. But people lose sight that Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz was an unbelievable Lomdin. He wrote his Torah Shari Chaim on the Masechtas, our great, great Lomdus. He was one of the Talmidei Muvakim of Reb Shimon Shkop. He was a big, big Lomdin of Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz. So I photocopied the way he explains it. But the way Reb Shmuel says it, there's really a third way, the way Reb Ruven Gruzovsky says it, but I'm not sure what he means. But the way Reb Shmuel says it is like this. Number two, in Shuri Reb Shmuel Gruzovsky writes this. For how the Talgidich me'agar b'karka loy mahani, ha'belav ha'de b'ina v'nosim b'yad v'lek. Says Reb Shmuel that the two kashas of the Gemara are independent of each other. Talgidich me'agar b'karka is not because v'nosim b'yad. It's a different chasar. What's the chasarin? He writes, v'yinirid ha'de Talgidich me'agar b'karka loy mahani ha'mita macher. It's a completely different reason. Why? Mushum de be'inan shiyave haget miyodoy liyodo. Or other ways saying mirishusai lirishusa. The aleph base of Talegitech, according to these achrenim, is not about how much involved you are in the giving, but where the get starts from. Which means, if the get starts off on the ground, and that's where it comes into the lady's rishus from, that's no good. What needs to happen? It needs to come from my possession to your possession.
Not where it starts from, because it started in his possession, went to the. It has to go from one position.
Right, I mean, it has to be a direct mesira mirishusai lirishusa. That's not. That's Tligidach Mega Bekarka. So according to Reb Shmuel, the din of Tligidach Mega Bekarka is that the din is, and this is probably even harder to understand in Lomdus, why it should be like this, why there's such a Hakbadah Satira on this direct Vinasan, my Rishas to your Rishas, but according to him, that's not Vinasan Biyad, that's a different din. Now he doesn't tell us where it's learned out from. Rashi says it's learned out from Vinasan, which means they really all learned from the same Pasuk. But according to him, this din of Tligidach means the get must come, start off in my rishos, and end up in your rishos, nothing in between. That's Tligidach Megabekar.
So what wouldn't qualify? Saying?
So when the get is on the ground, and you tell her, pick it up.
Pick it up.
So now that
it start from it, your right. Rishos, it started from the ground.
Right. Masha,
what if the ground was your rishos?
Oh, so let's say, so that was the Gemara's answer. So when the Gemara answered, Shafasa Machairov, so now she took the get from my backyard, from my back pocket.
What if she took it from my front lawn?
Oh, that would be the same thing. That would not be Tligidach Megai Bekarka.
What happens if there would be a Shliach involved?
Oh, that's something else. That's a whole different sugya. Once we get Shlichas involved, then we make everyone's extended. But exactly.
Gaitav was only in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim.
Right. According to this, if you tell the lady, go pick up the get in my house, that would not be Tligidach Megai Bekarka. Because she'd be picking up the get for my Rosh Hashanah. However, it would be no good for a different reason. Right. It would be good called Vinasa Biyadah.
Right. But if you said, I dropped it in the middle of Times Square.
Right.
go get it. That's fligate.
Exactly. Now, I think this is important because you'll see throughout the Masechta and Rishonim, when they ask kashas in different ways, they kind of sometimes say v'nasa and they sometimes say tligitech. According to what we're saying now, they're two separate dinim. They're not interchangeable. It's mavur and the gemara. They're two independent svaris that don't work together.
So you don't even get to the question of v'nasa if you're coming from Rosh Hashanah.
Exactly. Now, the way some people ask, for example, I put on the page number 5 of Matan Melech, he asks, he says, why did you come first with the kashas of tligitech? Why didn't you come first with the kashas of v'nasa and b'yado? If the Gemara is going to be mechadish to us in a minute, there's another problem called v'nas and b'yadai, that not only does it have to come from your rishos to her rishos, you have to be directly involved in the giving. Shouldn't have that been the first kasha? Right, shouldn't have been the first kasha? And you would have saved us three lines of Gemara. The first kasha of the Gemara should be v'nas and b'yadai v'leka. It's not a nesina. When a husband's sitting back like this and she takes from his back pocket, that's not a nesina. So why didn't the Gemara ask that first? Again, the Gemara had a kasha. The get sitting behind him, why is it good? So the Gemara had two choices. It could have been teligitech, or it could have been v'nas and b'yadai v'leka. The Gemara went the Tligitech route, which set itself up for a follow-up question. So, Frektem Adani Melech, why didn't you just go the Venosan Biyadeh route and stop it right there?
We would never have to ask the question of Tligitech.
That's right.
You started with
exactly. That's his kasha. We could have saved ourselves three lines of Gemara. Ask the direct kasha. It's not a Maisa Nesina. It's not a Maisa Nesina. It's no good. Why did we first come with the Tligitech route? That's a kasha. Yes, it's a good kasha. But what I want is that in Reb Shmuel's Mahalach, he doesn't explain, at least I don't see too much, where the first din is learned out of. I understand, v'nasan b'yadah, the words imply you have to give it to her directly. But where's the first din? So if you look in Shari Chaim, in Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz's Sefer, where he quotes the same shtickle from his Rebbe, Reb Shimon, he writes, v'nir v'bir hadover, t'bahach t'ligitach me'ga b'karki tarti itma. There's two things involved in it. Okay, it's not the way we're saying. We're not saying that there's two things in t'ligitach. We're saying there's two dinim, t'ligitach and something else. He writes, chodo di'itin lo hu atzmo yivlo shetikach me'atzmo. The first din is that he has to give it to her and she shouldn't take it for herself. Kelosh and Harambam, which we'll see hopefully later. V'suin, there's another din, shloi tito me'agar b'karka rak mi'odoi v'rushusoi. Well, we're basically seeing now these two dinim in the Sina, Zokta Reb Chaim Shalev, it says two dinim. V'travayu ichlulu b'din v'nasan sh'amah Torah. And they're both included in the v'nasan of the Torah. Okay? Rashi says that. Rashi says it's learned from v'nasan. However, Rashi, by this learn, said, the Gemara said, this is v'nasan b'yoda. So it sounds like there are two different parts of the pasuk. From v'nasan, I learned one drasha, and from b'yoda, I learned a different drasha. I learned these two possibilities of how to make a ma'is and a seder done the right way. Again, it's not clear to me why the Torah would be makbid on this. According to the way, let's say, the Achrenim are setting it up, or the way the Rambam sets it up, it's learned that from the word v'nasan. The word v'nasan means you have to give it, not that she takes. But I found an unbelievable Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan, he writes over here, he's bothered with the same kasha. Who told everyone that v'nasa means you have to directly give it? Who state? Maybe v'nasa means it should be given and your consent is enough of a giving. So Aruch HaShulchan has an interesting pshat. He writes, v'nasa mashma lehedja shetzarech sheyitein. The word v'nasa means you have to give it v'loy shetito. And not that she should take it. Kemoi, he brings an interesting raya. Kemoi b'matan dam kotshim dechatos. He brings a raya from kotshim. He says you find when it comes to parts of kachim dechsev and nosan v'tzarach dafke biyad ki mefor sham sheikach be'etzbay. Over there he has to mamish take it. So there you find that you have to do it. V'chein ba'ashem mitzayim dechsev and nosan akayin v'tzarach dafke biyad. V'loy domi l'nesinas matnos kahuna. He says, what about whenever we talk about matnos kahuna? Is there a din you have to put the matnos kahuna in the yad of the kohen? Or you just tell the kohen, listen, come to my house, this little section in the corner, that's yours, come and take it. Is there a din that you have to put the matnas kahuna in the hand of the kohen? It says v'nasan. It says in the Torah v'nasan, you should give it to the kohanim. So anyone's going to say that there's a din you have to mamish make it miyode liyode? So Aruch HaShulchan, no. Why? The ain't tzarech l'sina b'yad dafka. Why? The b'sham pirushu l'ashem atana. There we explain that v'nasan doesn't mean give, but it means to gift. Give as a present. That's why it has to be a certain amount of money that it's worth. We know that when it comes to a get, it's not the pshat that you're gifting her the get. We know that if you write on something that's not even giftable, something you can't be kainer, suriyano, you're not able to own a suriyano. Yet if you write a get on a suriyano, she's kainer. Clearly says the Aruch HaShulchan that the purpose of the get is not I'm giving you a gift that I want you to acquire. I have to give this over to you. So he goes a little bit of a different route to Aruch HaShulchan. He says, look at other places in the Torah where the Torah describes this procedure of v'nasan and see what the Torah means. So by matana, it doesn't mean that. By manas kahuna, it doesn't mean you have to give it to the kohen. It means you have to open your door and tell the kohen, please come take anything you want. It says v'nasan, because if it is v'nasan, it doesn't mean to give. It means to gift. Give it as a gift. So giving a gift doesn't require miyada liyada. However, says Aruch HaShulchan, a gerushin, possibly other places, then the ratzon HaTorah is that you should specifically give it, And when the Torah says give, that means miyad liyad. That's the way the Aruch HaShulchan learns the sugya.
I mean, in general, aren't we much stricter in not using analogies when it comes to issues of status change? We're much more conservative and not going to try to find some...
Yeah, my first place wouldn't have been digging up kachim sugyas. That wouldn't have been my first thought when I learned the pasuk of anasan. But the Aruch HaShulchan is making a fair argument. He's saying, let's look around the Torah. Where else does the Torah use such a wording? And let's see, borrow doesn't make sense in other contexts, and we'll use it as it's given to us. That's what sometimes is done when trying to understand how to translate a word.
I don't know what to deal with semantics, but every giving
has a take. All we're doing is doing it.
Correct.
You can't give that, so we're taking.
That's right.
Go like this, she's taking.
So that's what we're going to have to talk about. How much or how less of involvement she's allowed to have. I mean, you know, we make it sound like she's just supposed to stand like this. Let's say, for example, we'll talk more about this case. Let's say the husband walks with the get in his open palm, and he walks by the lady, and she plucks it out, you know, like a piece of sushi, right? Would that be good? Would that be a good get in such a case?
As opposed to him
putting the get in her hand. He brings the get up to her face. Mamish brings it up to her. And tells her, here, take it. And she plunks the get out of hand. But if that's considered okay enough. It depends how we learn the Gemara.
One of the underlying questions is, why not? Meaning, you're giving all of these examples.
Well, who gave, who? If you look at that case, who was the giver?
But the question is, why didn't he, in any of these theoretical scenarios, the question is, why didn't he do it the right way?
I don't know.
No, but that underlies all of these questions. Meaning, if there is a right way to do it, And we saw this in Kedushin, and he does it three quarters of the right way. Now we're trying to figure out whether three quarters of the right way is good enough for 100% to make it kosher. So I think underlying the question is going to be, is this, why didn't he just give it to her? You're giving me this question, he has it in his hand, and he doesn't say anything, and she just takes it. So
no, he tells her, take my get.
Why didn't you tell her to take it?
Because he didn't know the halachas.
He wasn't sure that he wanted to
do it. I don't think we'll see.
That's driving the love.
We'll have to see in the Rishayim. There's a piece of Rush, which is on the paper here, which doesn't mean anything. But that we need to see. That's a famous joke where a guy comes into shul, and he's first joining the religion. So he sits next to a guy, and he says, what does it mean when they open the curtain? He says, it means that we all stand up. He says, what does it mean when they take out the Torah? It means we're going to read the Torah. He says, what does it mean when the rabbi takes his watch out and puts it on the shtender? Absolutely nothing. The fact that it's on this page doesn't mean that we're going to get to it. But it's a big machlokes rishonim. What exactly is the level that he needs to be involved? And how much is it that it's okay for that he's not involved? We'll hopefully get to that in a few minutes.
The simple difference between the two scenarios you just gave is because it's not venos and biado. You know, when you stand there with your hand out, and then she takes it off, it's about the venos and biado. When you throw it to her...
Oh, why is it not venos and biado? If you look at that, he brought it up to her.
He didn't actually hand it.
But neither did he in the case of the Gemara. What's that? Neither did he in the case of the Gemara. What was the case of the Gemara? It was tucked in his pants, and all he did was he went like this. Right? There's no venos and biado there.
It's in her hand at the end of the day.
It's in her hand because of his helping. So if I bring the get up to her face and bring a mekar of it to her, that might be good enough. We'll see. That's a big machlokes rishonim. Now I just want to go back to Daf Ayin Zayin a little bit. Here we go backwards, we go forwards, we go sideways. The only thing we don't go is we don't go forward. But in any case, there's a Gemara Daf Ayin Zayin that we spoke a lot about. The Gemara in Daf Ayin Zayin that a husband needed to get a get to his wife, and the get was in his Rishos, and the question was, how do we get to his wife? So we had a Machloikish Rishayim over there. What did he do? According to Rashi, she was kind of the ground, and she got the get through Kinyan Agav. What happened was she made a Maisa Kinyan on his Chatzar. She was kind of the Chatzar, and Agav the Chatzar, she got the get. That was the opinion of Rashi. Almost all the other Rishonim disagreed with Rashi, and they learned it's not Agav, but rather it's Chatz. There's a Gevaldika piece of Reb Kiveger over there, which I think we spoke at the time, but now it's even more Geshmak. Kiveger asked the following question. He says, I don't understand the whole Tumul in the Gemara. Let the husband just be Mafker his Chatzar. Again, we need to get her to have access to his backyard where the get is resting. So everyone's trying to figure out, so she's kind of, but the problem was if she makes a Maisei Kinyan on Shabbos, that's an Issa D'Rabbanan, and the whole discussion. In fact, Kiveger have a very simple answer. Let him be mafka the chutzah.
Is that directly from him?
Yeah. Kiveger, that's mamish shar sugi. Exactly. So it says Reb Kiveger that even though for halachic purposes it might be better for him to be mafka it, Kiveger says anyways he might have a problem because if she goes and be zeichim and a hefker, Kiveger passes halacha, you're allowed to be mafka things on Shabbos. If you have things you don't want, you can be mafka them on Shabbos. You can't be zeichim and a hefker, but you can be mafka it. So Kiveger says, so what would happen if the husband would be mafkrit? So Kiveger, it wouldn't work because then it's felt and it would be tigidach megabekarka. Because Because if that would be the case, so what happens? The husband relinquishes ownership over there, and then she walks in and she's kind of the chasen and she's kind of the get. That's like the chamega bekarka. It might be also not the nasim yad. It might be all the chesrainus. But all the issues that we just learned in our gemara would be applicable in that case. Even though one could have argued that because I was mafkirit, I enabled you to come and be kainit. Just like because I gave it to you as a present, you enabled. It's not direct because someone else in the middle could have came. If I give it to you and no one else, then I'm directly involved. But the mere fact that I made it hefker and now anyone can come and take it, glad that worked out that you were the first one to come, that's not enough to say that I set up the nesina to be a ma'aseh nesina.
What was Rukunego's habamina that way better than just a regular king?
Because over there, there's no iser on Shabbos to be mafka things. Yeah, because of the Shabbos case. So Kvega says that if the husband would just be mafka the land. So let's go back to Gerishim case. Let's say the husband has a get sitting on his property and he tells the lady, I'm being mafka the property. The property is yours. Come be kind of the property. And mail you'll be kind of the get. So to Kvega, that wouldn't be good. That would be a now, there's another Gemara that we talked about last week. The Gemara of Chafalv. The Gemara of Chafalv tells us also Rava. The Omar Rava, Kassav Laged, Nothing Bechatzeiroi. That's your husband writes a get and he puts it in his backyard. Then the Kassav Lashtar Matonolov. Then he writes another paper. On that paper, he says, I'm gifting this chatzah to my wife, or my soon-to-be ex-wife. Zogdi Gemara Kansu Miskereshes Ba. The halach is that she's kind of both the shtar, which means she now owns the chatzah, and she owns the chatzah. The gets in the chatzah, she gets both. Then the Gemara says another case, Amar Rav, also from Rav, Kasav Lagev Nasim Bi Aravdoi. Let's say she writes again, and you put it in the hand of his Eved. Again, the husband writes again, puts it in the hand of his Eved. Then he writes another shtar, that I'm gifting you the Eved to this Isha. Zogdi Gemara, that's also okay. So the obvious kash that should bother everyone after we saw the Gemara Daf Ayin Ches, how does this work? When the husband put the get, he put the get in his backyard. That's not an asina. That's not an asina liyada. That might even be tligitech maybe. But why is this a good get? When you put the get in your backyard, so you're telling me because I was makna her the property later. Okay. Does that necessarily? So we had a taisavis and Daf Ayin Zayin. The taisavis said if you're makna the whole rishus to her, that's considered an asina me rishusal rishusal. The only problem is that's the first din of the Gemara. Nesina merishusa lirishusa, so it's not lagitech. But at least should be a chasar v'nasam biyada. How are you going to call this v'nasam biyada? This is what we've considered a chasar v'nasam biyada. It might not be lagitech because you made it merishusa lirishusa, but why isn't it a problem of v'nasam biyada? So Rashi over here comments. Rashi says kansuha le'eved b'shtar matona zeh. She's kind of the Eved with the Shtar Matana. V'haget she'biyode, and along with that, she gets the get that the Eved is holding on to. The Havali Hai Eved kichatzeira. Because this Eved now functions like her chatzer. The Gita v'chatzeira bo'o lo ke'echa. We have a principle, Gita v'chatzeira bo'o lo ke'echa. So the majority of Achreinim, or more recent Kedeli Rosh Hashivas, Dabvarsky, Shmorozovsky, Menchasasher, they all assume that Rashi over here was bothered with the Kasha. Rashi was bothered with the Kasha, how does this magic trick work? How could it be the husband puts the get in his backyard, and his backyard is not going to be a problem of a nasa? On that, Rashi answers, it's this magical trick that we have, that everything happens at one shot, so when I put the get into my backyard, it was really like I put it into her backyard.
But that doesn't answer the nasa beyond. That,
right.
answers the direct connection of
Rashi. No, it is.
Rishus, but it's not the biyada.
Why is it not biyada also? That's her possession. It's her property. So I put the get into her property.
It's your yad, you're right. Beyond
right.
The actual hand.
Right. So, like what the Gemara said, you can do it. So therefore, Zok the Gedolei Rosh Hashivas, that's what happened over here. That's what Rashi was bothered with. Rashi was bothered with the kash that we're asking now, why is it not Tlehitech? Why is it not Venosim Beyad? So Rashi, get the yad and fixes all problems. Now, Reb Steinman in Adi Also Shachar has an interesting point. He says, 1 second, not so fast. Why does everyone assume that's Pshan and Rashi? Why can't Rashi be bothered with a totally different kasha? If you give a lady a chatzah, we learned this in the Gemara Daf Ayin Zayin. So what? The husband still has rights, he has kinyan peiros in the chatzar. So if the husband still has rights in the chatzar, you still have a problem, mashikon yishikon abalo. So maybe that when Rashi is saying, gita v'yodim b'yin kechad, is not to answer the kasha about it's not the v'nosim b'yod, it's to answer a totally separate kasha. It's the answer to the kasha of, he's still connected to the get. Because you put the get in her backyard that he really owns. Because the halach is, when a lady owns a backyard, the husband has kinyan peiros in it. So if the husband still has rights to the chatzar, so you never made an asinu l'rishusa, because it's a sheared backyard. So on that, the Gemara answered on Daf Ayin Zayin we learned together, Kitav Yadam Bayin Kecha. So Tainer Reb Shtaymi, maybe that's what Rashi wants over here. Why are we jumping that Rashi's coming to answer Ablam the Shekashas? Maybe Rashi's coming to answer a simple Kasha. How does it help that you gave her the Chatzar, but even though she owns it, but she's your wife still. If she's your wife, you own it. So you didn't give the Chatzar, you didn't give the get to her possession.
That's a question in all
exactly.
in all cases.
Right.
You give her the
that's right, right. And all those cases, the Gemara had to answer, gives me other than
Kecha. But if it's Bain Kecha, that means that she gives her the.
Right.
You
don't
have to pay her.
Right, that's the answer. Meaning that could be what was bothering Rashi. So Reb Steinman says maybe not. Because he points out there was a Tosfos in Daf Ayin Zayin that Tosfos has a shaila based on the Gemara Baba Basra. What happens if you, there's two scenarios. What happens if you give your wife a gift of a chatzar? It could be if you give her a present, a matona, then the husband is automatically relinquishing any rights to the peiros. So therefore, says Reb Steinman, in this case of the Gemara, it sounds like he gave her a gift, the chatzar. So if he gave her the gift of chatzar, so then there's no kinyan peiros. So if the husband has no kinyan peiros, there would be no problem about gitav yadam bain kechad mitzad, the fact that he still owns the chatzar. So if Rashi still says gitav yadam bain kechad, he must have been coming to answer up the other kasha that we spoke about earlier.
Is there an assumption here that the wife is... like a zakum, she wants to accept.
Very good.
It's a lousy feel. I don't want you.
That's what I
want
to get to.
I don't want your ebed. I got to pay for him now.
Right, so many people asked that the last couple of weeks. So this week I was zeicha to find in the Sefer Geirish Yerachim, written in the 1700s. So he's shtickled bothered with this kasha. He says, what happens in the case where the lady wants half the deal? Right, you told her, I'm giving you an ebed and I'm also giving you a divorce. So she says, 1 second, I'd love to have the ebed. I don't want the divorce. Let's split the deal. I don't want a package deal. I want one or the other. Do I have to take the whole package? You're giving me a package deal. You're telling me, here's your Eved, and here's the get, but I only want half the deal. Now, if I say I don't want the Eved, this never gets off the ground. But he's bothered with, let's say you say I want the Eved, but I want it to stop there.
Isn't the Eved really just a vehicle of from
yes,
the extension of the Yad?
But it only works if the Isha is willing to make it her chatzar. If the Isha says, I don't want to be kind of this Eved.
Right, no, but if she says, I want to be kind of the Eved, but not the Shtark, too bad, because
right.
That's like...
Exactly. Says the Geirish Yerachim, Yesh La'ayin. Imo Isha Nisratzis L'kabo Eved. Let's say she wants to get the Eved. She's always looking for extra help. Which woman would turn down extra help? The Einu Ratz we get, but she doesn't want the get. What happens then? Im name of the b'chomakim kimishim rutzis be'evit kenosel evit. Do we say, well, you want the evit, so you get the evit? Umemelem is kereshes afil ba'karchay, and now everything just rolls on its own. Ve'ein lanu loymer shabal lekasel l'shtam matan and rakshet tirtze gam beget. Don't say, well, maybe the husband only gave her the whole package on the tzad that she wants to get as well. He says that's ridiculous because the husband doesn't care about her. He's doing it about karcha. Her involvement is irrelevant. So he points out, like many of you suggested, that in the case where she might want the Eved, but she doesn't want the get, it doesn't matter. Now, if she doesn't want the Eved and a Chanami, it doesn't get off the ground. But if she wants the Eved and she says, well, I want half the deal. I want the Eved and not the get. That doesn't work. Because once you claim the Eved, you're claiming the get about karcha. The problem with the Gemara and Daf Chof Aleph is that this Gemara and Daf Chof Aleph is a direct steer to the Gemara and Daf Ayin Zayin. We learned at the Fine Zion of the Bay that Rashi learned the Gemara's case where the get was sitting in the husband's backyard. The wife had to figure out a way to make the get hers. So Rashi learned, what did she do? She was kind of the property. And agav the property, she got the get. All the other Rishayim learned that it was chatzim. We mentioned back then that why did Rashi veer off from the regular mahalach of the sugya and learn that it was agav and not chatzim? So we said it seems that Rashi had a problem. Rashi held that you can't be kind of kinyan chatzim in such a scenario. One of the pshat that we suggested was based on the famous shach, that the shach holds you can't be kinyan chatzar if something was there before. Right. The only time kinyan chatzar works is if it's first yours, and then later you get it. So we said, that's pshat and Rashi. That's why Rashi held that the Gemara can't be kinyan chatzar, it has to be kinyan agav. There's only one problem. What do you do with Rashi daf chof aleph? The Gemara daf chof aleph, Rashi is learning, it's working as chatzar. Now, how do I know it's chatzar? Because look at the next line in the Gemara daf chof aleph. The Gemara kasha, v'amai chatzar ma'alechasi. The Gemara asks, but it's a moving chatzar. Who's talking about kinyan chatzar? So clearly the Gemara was learning Kinyan Chatzar. If it's Kinyan Chatzar, Rashi holds you can't use Kinyan Chatzar in such a case. Rashi says what happened. The husband put the get in his possession first, and then he was machne her the Chatzar. Why is that not a problem like we had in Daf Ayin Zayin? So the question is, how does Rashi and Daf Chaf Aleph work with Rashi and Daf Ayin Zayin?
Yeah, but this here is doing over there, he's not using that.
So why couldn't he do the same Boyin Kecher over there? Why couldn't he do the same Boyin Kecher over there?
But isn't it really what he was doing? I mean,
no, according to Rashi over there. What?
Because the get was in there before she owned the chatzar.
And the get was also in here before. The get was in here.
That mechanism.
Yeah, but the question was, why not? Why didn't he just use the same chap? So the Pnei Yeshua says, Ein Echrami. The Pnei Yeshua says a chiddush. He says that Rashi, Naf Ein Zayin, was gone before we knew Gittav Yadim Boin Kechad. So we didn't know Gittav Yadim, we had no other Eitzos yet, you can Yanagav. Then in Chafal, if we learned Gittav Yadim, that's a Rashi.
The two examples. The first example was,
The get was in.
Put the star, the get
in his backyard.
In his backyard,
right?
And then he said, "Come and be kona
my backyard."
My backyard.
So then the backyard.
The problem was by chutzner, you wouldn't be kona the get because it was already present.
Correct.
Right? He would have had to then throw it in.
Correct.
Okay. So you have to say it's agav.
Right.
Fine. Second example is he says, "I want to give you a get, so I'm putting it in a piece of property and I'm deeding you the chutzner."
Right.
What's the difference in the two examples?
Yeah, that's the kasha.
No, but they're exactly the same fact scenario.
Yeah, I agree. That's why we mentioned when Tosfos had a cash on Daf Ayin Zayin, we asked what was Tosfos so bothered with. It's in the first one Daf Chafalov. It seems like the Gemara's are basically the exact same storyline with the exact same details. Yet one place Rashi learned Kinyan Chatzah, one place Rashi learned Kinyan Agav. That's the kasha that many Achrenim were bothered with.
I don't understand. Could you explain this to me? Is there a difference between Gita v'yado barin ke'ayachad and chatzera v'gita barin ke'ayachad?
No. Well, again, the truth is...
Because maybe there is a little difference...
Well, this Rashi over here, as many Achrenim...
He puts them together.
Right. The Minchas Rashi points this out, that this is a little bit borrowing terms of what we normally call Gita v'yado barin ke'ayachad. Here it's a little bit beyond the normal. It's the same idea. The idea over here is that the moment the chatz becomes hers, at that moment the get is considered...
So
in
nobody says
that
there's a difference...
No, they all speak out. There is. They all speak out that we're expanding on the term, but they're assuming that's what Rashi wanted to do. So the question is, how do we answer the steer between Rashi over here and the Rashi over there? So, if you look, we'll go first to number 11. If you look in Shuri Abshmul, Abshmul Zavsky brings down two pshatim to answer this kasha. The first pshat he brings is from the Divrei Emes. The Divrei Emes suggests a very simple answer. The Rashi is feeling the b'had the teich of a tifchad ayri shirak hishol la chatzir. The Gemara Daf Ayin Zayin was not talking about where he gifted her the chatzir; he lent her the chatzir. He didn't say you can own my chatzir. I'm not giving you my chatzir. I'm lending you my chatzar. I'm going to be mashal you my chatzar. So what? Then the Gemara doesn't say anything. The Gemara just says, go make a kinyan. Zok Shmuel, so what? There's a sheet of the Baal Itter. The Baal Itter holds, the chatzar she'ula ene kene me hamashal shayel. If I'm borrowing a chatzar from you, from my landlord, my borrower, I can't be carrying things from you with that chatzar. So therefore says the Baal Itter, very gishma. Since the case was the talking about where the lady borrowed the chatzar from the husband, she can't then use that chatzar to be kind of the get from the husband. That doesn't work. So Rashi was bothered with the cash. I can't use kinyan chatzar over here for a technical problem. Because since we're talking about a mashal and a shayel, that doesn't work. So Rashi had to come up with kinyan agav.
Why would kinyan agav work?
Because he
stole a bar.
Right, he says that din, that restriction, only by kinyan chatzar. Doesn't work by kinyan agav. That's what he says.
What tells us that Rashi assumed that it was only...
Yeah, you're right. There's no mashmois in Rashi, right? I wouldn't say there's any mashmois in Rashi. Rashi's the loss of the Gemara was go be machneter. It sounds like straight up. That's what he wants to say.
What's that case over there where they were given an eitzah? He was trying to find out what to do, and Rava or somebody told him.
Yeah, Rava.
What to do?
Yep.
So. It's not like he decided, it's not a story that happened over.
No, it could be that the husband was also only willing to do so much. You know, when it came to their husband,
to do whatever it is that works. Obviously, whatever would he
say. I guess he wasn't that motivated to give to get the chatzar away. Yeah, I agree with you. There's no good raya in the actual reading of the Gemara that was the case. I agree. So then Rishul brings down a more lom neshe pshat. I think that we'll enjoy a little bit more. In the next piece on the bottom of number 11, he writes, I'll tell you a different pshat. He says, Hainu davka kishahikna lo hachatzar bikin yishtar. So it depends what kinyan you used to make the chatzah yours. Again, the Gemara Daf Ayin Zayin and Argamar are both cases where she ends up with the property where the get was pre-existing. The question is, what's the difference? Zokhtib Shmuel Zoshki, the difference is what mode of kinyan was used to make that chatzah hers. So in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Zayin, she did the Maisa Kinyan, right? The Gemara said, she went and closed the door. She opened and closed the door. So she did the action. In this Gemara, it was kinyan shtar. The husband wrote a shtar, a legal document gifting her the property. So what, says Reb Shmuel? To shtar, having ma'isa kinyan shal hamakne. When you use a shtar, who's really doing the ma'isa? It's not the kine, it's the makne. The gift, the one giving the gift, is really the one that's being poiled achalos. To who noisel ma hashtar ubezeh makne loy. So when I give someone a legal document that says I'm gifting you a property, I'm really the one giving you the property. Obviously, I need you to accept it, but I'm the one doing the action, so I'm really the venasa. So therefore, that's why it's considered the husband was the venasan to the isha. But go back to the Gemara and Daf Ayin Zayin, she did the act. She walked over to the door and she closed the door. So as Reb Shmuel, of course, no one's denying that you need the consent of the husband for this to work. He says the reason why that was no good, or why Rashi learned that was no good, because that's not considered venasan, because she's too involved. She's the one who's making this transfer happen by her act of closing the door is what's making this her reshus and what's making this thing to get transferred. That's no good.
So is the shtar example in the category of kinyan chatzar or not?
Well, again, kinyan chatzar...
really the difference.
Well, then, kinyan chatzar is just the mode. The question is, how did she get the chatzar?
Right, so if the person who gives the shtar, the baal, is the makneh, so that's what's creating
correct.
The kinyan.
Right.
So it's not a classic case of kinyan chatzar where you make a kinyan on the property, you acquire what's in the property.
Right. Meaning there's two ways you can have kinyan chatzar. Either you make a chazaka on it, or I give it to you through my shtar. Those are two
in
ways.
In which case, the rule of Kenyan Chazir doesn't apply.
Correct. That would be the difference.
Or according shouldn't apply.
Right. That's the way Shmuel Zofsky wants to answer up the steer in the two Rashis.
So it's analogous to Kedushin. The woman is too involved
possibly
in the initiation to make
possibly. Sure. Yeah. I just want to just see that famous shach that we keep on quoting. I just want to see it inside because I think it's important. Right? The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch in Chosh Mishpat, not in Evin Ezer. Chosh Mishpat. He writes number 12. Number 10, I believe I do want to come back to, but what's going to have to wait. Number 12, he writes, this is Ramah talking Chosh Mishpat. This takes us back to Kenyan Agav, right? We talked about if the stuff has to be piled up on the ground or not. So Dr. Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, even if they're piled up on the ground, Tzarech Sheyemer Konei Agav Karka. You still have to speak out. If you want Kenyan Agav to work, you have to speak out that I'm being Konei this, Agav this. V'chei nearly ik. So it comes along the Shach, he says, I don't understand. And if you don't speak it out, so it doesn't work as agav. Let it work as chatzar. Again, I have stuff in a chatzar. It's in my backyard, and I have stuff piled up on my backyard. So Zokti Gemara, if I want to gift it to another person, the only way I can make it work is if I speak out the right words agav ukni, and then it works as agav. And if not, it doesn't work. Frek the shach. What do you mean it doesn't work? Let it work as chatzar. Again, if it's in my property and I gift you my property, so you get the whole package. Wouldn't it work as chatzar? Why does it have to work only as agav? Zokti shach. So the first answer he gives is maybe we're talking about a case where the chatzar is ainu mishtameres. Maybe not every chatzar can function as a Kenyan type of chatzar. It has to be protected and guarded. So the shach first suggests that maybe the Ramah is talking about a case where the chatzar is not protected. So if the chatzar is not protected, it doesn't work as chatzar. Then he says another pshat. Fatam nearly finished daiti. The ain chatzeru kain elkeshu who kvar chatzeru. The only time a chatzar can work if it's first your chatzar. But over you want everything to happen once, that you can't do. So this is the famous shach we keep on talking about over and over again, that you can't be koine a get if you own the chatz, if you don't own the chatzu yet.
But yada, so forget the
yada. That's right. That's right. So what's the pshat? So the achreinim and mazber, very simple. Because over here, you actually need to be koine. But we're talking about b'choshimish. We're talking about mominous. My mominous things—it's not just good enough to make a mice in the sina. Then you actually have to have a kinyan. So when it comes to real kinyan, you can't play tricks. Get to the other mankech. Masha ekin by gerushin, you don't need to be kinyan to get. All you need is in the sina. So get to the other mankech means that it's like I gave it to your possession. Because since it will be your possession in 2 minutes, that's good enough. So there are those who want to tell you that this shach has no bearing whatsoever on helchus gerushin. This is a choshimish but shach. When you talk about buying things, you need to have real kinyan. When you talk about getting just a ma'is in the scene, it's sufficient to say that this will be my rishos, or it's looked at like a my rishos, and that would be good enough. Lefizeh, then we can't go back and say that that's Rashi and Dafayin Zayin. We said Rashi and Dafayin Zayin, like a shach, Lefizeh, it doesn't work. Okay.